We've just published the book, The Adventures of Lola Badiola. It's the perfect complement for this podcast. It includes complete transcripts, explanations, and quizzes. So buy it now on Amazon. Hello and welcome back to The Adventures of Lola Badiola. In the last episode, Park Jae-bong was forced to escape from North Korea, following the original plan created by Kim Dae-won. Now I'm afraid that you're going to have to wait a couple of chapters to find out what happens next, because right now we're going to return to Madrid and get up to date with Lola's professional and personal predicament. Here we go.
The Adventures of Lola Badiola, Chapter 39. Good News and Bad News for Lola. Lola sat in the back of a Cabify taxi on the way to meet Gonzalo Garrido at his law offices in Vallecas. They had agreed to meet at 5 p.m, but the M30 ring road around Madrid was hardly moving. Lola hated arriving late to meetings. She sent a text message to Gonzalo, explaining why she wouldn't be there on time, saying that she hoped to arrive by 5:30 p.m. Then she sat back in the taxi and ruminated on the events of the last couple of days. The Cyber Story article was now yesterday's news. No one at the company was talking about it. Nobody was questioning Lola's loyalty or integrity. They were all too busy dealing with the recent intrusion into their systems. JJ and Diego were at the office 24/7, supported by the team of programmers who were working on a rotational basis. The programmers were split into three teams. The first team was responsible for finding the mysterious hacker, Pluto. The second was in charge of upgrading the company's software. And the third continued to work on designing new products. There was a sense of urgency in the office as the J-Block employees came together to fight this new and unknown threat. The only person who was not part of the team effort was Cayetano. He sat quietly in the marketing department, observing all that was happening around him. Since Lola had first met Cayetano, she had been equally attracted to him as repelled by him. But after their last team meeting, she had seen him for what he truly was, a snake in the grass. As her Cabify taxi continued to crawl around the M30 ring road, Lola thought about the upcoming meeting with her lawyer and friend, Gonzalo Garrido. Up to this point, Gonzalo had been a godsend. He seemed to know how to handle the Cyber Story article, the situation with TechSpania, and the investigation by Interpol. However, in his recent messages, he sounded less assured. He asked her to come to his office as soon as was practically possible. He said that there was both good news and bad news. At last, the traffic cleared, and as Lola had predicted, she eventually arrived in Vallecas at 5:30 p.m. She sat down in the reception of the law firm and started flicking through a legal magazine that was on the table next to her. There was nothing particularly interesting in it, but she wanted to keep her mind occupied and distracted. After a couple of minutes, Gonzalo arrived, kissed her on the cheek, and guided her to his office at the back of the building. They exchanged some small talk before Lola moved the meeting on to more serious matters. "You said that there was good news and bad news." Gonzalo sat forward in his chair and rested his elbows on the desk in front of him. "Yes, let's start with the good news. Interpol won't be pursuing any action against you. You won't be charged, and you won't have to defend yourself in criminal court. As we thought, they don't have enough evidence, and anyway, they have bigger fish to fry." Lola felt elated. This was the first positive piece of news that she had received since she started at J-Block. The sensation only lasted a few seconds, because she could see from the expression on Gonzalo's face that all was not well. "So what's the bad news?" "The bad news is that TechSpania have decided to pursue a civil case against you." "What does that mean?" "That means that you will have to defend yourself in civil court against the charges of corporate espionage. TechSpania are claiming that you stole confidential information and passed it on to competitors and cybercriminals. They're arguing that this has had a tangible negative impact on the company's value." Lola shook her head in dismay. They're suing you for 150 million euros in damages. Lola's dismay turned to disbelief. What? That's crazy!
Well, it might sound crazy, explained Gonzalo, but it's legally justifiable. The share price of Techspania hasn't recovered since the recent attack. Hundreds of millions of euros have been wiped off the value of the company.
Gonzalo stood up and walked to the glass door of his office. He looked into the hallway to make sure nobody was listening. Then he turned back to Lola and said, I need to ask you a personal question. Lola was lost in thought and didn't respond. Gonzalo continued, What assets do you have, Lola? I need to know what's at risk here. Lola was quiet. She thought about her father and all the legal battles that he had faced in his career. She needed to be more like him. She needed to put her emotions to one side and remain objective. My father owned 51% of Gruppo Badiola, said Lola. When he died, he left half of that to my mother and half of it to me.
So you own 25.5% of Gruppo Badiola?
Yes, but I'm a silent partner. I pass all my voting rights over to my mother. She has ultimate control of the company.
And how much is Gruppo Badiola worth?
It's a private enterprise, so it's difficult to say.
Gonzalo took out a notepad and a piece of paper. What were the operating profits for the last 3 years?
They've been quite flat, ranging between 50 and 55 million euros a year.
Gonzalo typed something into his computer.
Okay, food and drinks companies listed on the Spanish Stock Exchange trade on a multiple of 11 times operating profits. Let's assume that this is the case for Gruppo Badiola. That means at the low end of the range, the company is worth 11 times 50 million euros, which equals 550 million euros.
Gonzalo took out a calculator.
Your stake is therefore 25.5% of 550 million euros.
He plugged in the numbers.
That equates to 140.25 million euros.
Gonzalo put down the calculator and looked up at Lola.
It's no coincidence that Ruiz de Balasco is suing you for 150 million euros. He knows what you're holding in Gruppo Badiola is worth, and he wants it all.
Lola sat in silence, absorbing the implications of the lawsuit. Gruppo Badiola had been founded by her father 40 years ago. He had worked like hell, taken risks, and made many sacrifices along the way. In doing so, he had turned a small distributor of anchovies into a global food and drinks empire. When he died, he had passed control of the business to his wife and daughter for safekeeping. It was their responsibility to continue to nurture the company for the benefit of future generations. Lola knew exactly how much her 25.5% stake in Gruppo Badiola was worth, but she never considered that it truly belonged to her. She was simply a guardian of what her father had created and what her children would inherit. And now, all that was under threat. If Lola had to sell her stake to finance the legal damages, the family would lose control of the business. Her mother would be unable to direct the actions of the other shareholders, and the legacy would be lost forever.
So, there is trouble ahead for Lola, as she faces financial ruin at the hands of Mario Ruiz de Velasco. We will continue with her story next week, but right now let's do some English language lessons. Have a listen to this sentence again.
JJ and Diego were at the office 24/7, supported by the team of programmers who were working on a rotational basis.
24/7 is a very common expression, used in business to emphasize the fact that you or your company are always working, always available, always responding to your customers' needs. It simply means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here's the next expression.
Since Lola had first met Cayetano, she had been equally attracted to him as repelled by him. But after their last team meeting, she had seen him for what he truly was, a snake in the grass.
A snake in the grass. Well, this is a rather obvious metaphor. It refers to somebody who is a hidden danger. Somebody close to you that may be about to cause you pain or injury. A snake in the grass is the worst kind of enemy because you don't actually realize that they exist. Okay, here's another expression.
Up to this point, Gonzalo had been a godsend. He seemed to know how to handle the Cyber Story article, the situation with Texpania, and the investigation by Interpol.
A godsend is a gift from the gods. Something that you didn't ask for or didn't expect, but is extremely useful for whatever cause that you are fighting. Okay, here's the next expression.
As we thought, they don't have enough evidence, and anyway, they have bigger fish to fry.
Bigger fish to fry. That's a good one. The word fish and different types of fish appear in many English idioms. We talk about somebody with power and influence as being a big fish. We talk about something that is minor and insignificant as being small fry. And in this case, if you have bigger fish to fry, it means that you have more important things to consider and pursue. Interpol are no longer going to prosecute Lola Badiola because they have more substantial criminals to investigate. They have bigger fish to fry. Right, let's take a look at some technical English. In this case, we're going to cover some important legal definitions. So listen to this again.
Interpol won't be pursuing any action against you. You won't be charged, and you won't have to defend yourself in criminal court. The bad news is that Texpania have decided to pursue a civil case against you. What does that mean? That means that you will have to defend yourself in civil court against the charges of corporate espionage.
What is the difference between a criminal case and a civil case? What is the difference between a criminal court and a civil court? Okay, let's start off with a criminal case. Normally, this is made by a public prosecutor against an individual or organization for a serious act of breaking the law. The public prosecutor represents society as a whole, against whom the crime has been perpetrated. Criminal cases are normally heard in higher courts, and in the UK and the US, in front of a jury of 12 people. In contrast, a civil case is normally fought between two individual people or two individual entities. It is not necessarily considered to be a crime against society. Instead, it is a situation where one party may have breached the contract of another party. Civil cases are normally held in lower courts and decided by a judge rather than a jury. Now, most large companies will have to respond to cases in civil courts. They may have disagreements with vendors, suppliers, clients. There may be misunderstandings. There may be contract disputes and various other bilateral issues that need to be settled in civil court. If, on the other hand, a company faces charges in a criminal court, then it will be for issues such as negligence, fraud, theft, and these are all extremely serious matters, and it could end up destroying the company involved. Have you or your company ever been involved in a civil case? Have you or your company ever been involved in a criminal case? I hope not. Okay, so let's find out what civil case Texpania is going to make against Lola Badiola. Here we go.
They're suing you for 150 million euros in damages.
Techspania is suing Lola Badiola for 150 million euros in damages. Okay, first of all, if you sue someone, sue is spelled S-U-E, you take them to civil court and demand compensation for actions that they have made that have negatively and unjustly impacted you or your company. In most cases, you seek what is called damages. That is money to be paid for your injury or your loss. That is your form of compensation. Now, like Lola, you might be surprised by the amount of damages that Techspania is seeking. 150 million euros. And that is why Gonzalo Garrido asks the following question.
I need to ask you a personal question. Lola was lost in thought and didn't respond. Gonzalo continued. What assets do you have, Lola? I need to know what's at risk here.
Assets is one of the most fundamental items of vocabulary in business English. Can you define what an asset is? Well, in a general sense, an asset or your assets are everything that you own. Everything that has some kind of value, be it tangible or intangible. An asset is a resource that can provide you with a future benefit. A company's assets will be listed on the balance sheet of their annual report and will include things like factories, machines, land. These are all types of long-term assets. On the other side of the balance sheet are the liabilities, or what a company owes. For example, it could be credit lines, outstanding debt, taxes that are due, etc., etc. Assets and liabilities. Just make sure you don't call them actives and passives. So, when Gonzalo asks about Lola's assets, he's essentially asking her what she currently owns that has some kind of value. Now, it turns out that Lola has substantial assets that she has inherited from her father. Psychologically, she doesn't consider these assets to belong to her. But in a practical and legal sense, they do. Let's just remind ourselves of what these assets are.
My father owned 51% of Grupo Badiola, said Lola. When he died, he left half of that to my mother and half of it to me. So you own 25.5% of Grupo Badiola? Yes, but I'm a silent partner. I pass all my voting rights over to my mother. She has ultimate control of the company.
So, Lola owns 25.5% of Grupo Badiola, which she inherited when her father died. We know from previous chapters that Lola has never wanted to be part of Grupo Badiola. She has always wanted to create a career for herself in the world of technology. She is therefore not directly involved in the activities of her family company. She calls herself a silent partner. This expression refers to somebody who has ownership, but no active involvement with a business or activity. So Lola is not involved in any of its daily operational activities or any of the management decisions of the group. In fact, she has given all of her voting rights to her mother. So whenever the board of directors meets to either support or block a proposal by the management, Lola is happy for her mother to make the right decision on both of their behalves. As a result, Lola's mother has a combined total of 51% of the company. She is therefore the majority shareholder, and she therefore has the final say in any strategic decision that the company makes. Which brings us to the question of how much is Grupo Badiola actually worth? How much is any company worth? How do you make that calculation? Well, valuing companies, particularly private companies, is as much an art as it is a science. And there are various different methodologies to choose from, and there are many different assumptions to make. And this can lead to wildly different calculations of value. If one party is looking to sell a company, they will choose the methodology and the assumptions that maximize the value of the company. And as you might expect, if another party is looking to buy a company, they will use the methodology and assumptions that minimize the value of the company. And then there will be a long, difficult negotiation to reach a price that's somewhere between these two extremes. Now, a very simple way to estimate the value of a company is to use what investment bankers call multiples. Now, there are lots of different multiples, but the one that Gonzalo Garrido uses here is known as the enterprise value multiple. Let's find out how he makes his calculation. Here we go.
Gonzalo took out a notepad and a piece of paper. What were the operating profits for the last 3 years? They've been quite flat, ranging between 50 and 55 million euros a year.
First of all, Gonzalo asked Lola for the operating profit of Grupo Badiola for the last 3 years. Operating profit is simply the amount of money that the company receives in product sales minus all the costs related to the creation of those product sales. It's basically revenues minus costs at the most basic fundamental level. In the case of Grupo Badiola, the operating profit is between 50 and 55 million euros a year, which makes it a very successful, profitable, large-ish company. So what does Gonzalo Garrido do next? Let's have a listen.
Gonzalo typed something into his computer. Okay, food and drinks companies listed on the Spanish Stock Exchange trade on a multiple of 11 times operating profits. Let's assume that this is the case for Grupo Badiola. That means at the low end of the range, the company is worth 11 times 50 million euros, which equals 550 million euros.
He looks at companies that are on the Spanish Stock Exchange in the same business sector as Grupo Badiola, because it's easy to value companies that are listed on the stock exchange because their share price reflects their valuation. He then sees or calculates that companies in the food and drinks sector are valued on the stock exchange at 11 times their operating profits. Their enterprise value multiple is 11. He then applies this multiple of 11 to the operating profits of Grupo Badiola, which are 50 million, and reaches a valuation of 11 times 50 million, which equals 550 million. Does that make sense? Or does this just sound like meaningless financial jargon? Well, this little calculation, and calculations like it, are the essence of corporate finance. This calculation and the negotiations that follow are the work of investment bankers, private equity investors, and venture capitalists. This is what they do all day long, and often all night long and all weekend long as well. Okay, let's finish this analysis by listening to one final phrase. Here it is.
Lola knew exactly how much her 25.5% stake in Grupo Badiola was worth, but she never considered that it truly belonged to her.
Lola has a 25.5% stake in Grupo Badiola. Stake here is spelt S-T-A-K-E. And it means that Lola has an interest in the company, that she is an owner, that she is a stakeholder. And her stake is worth just over 140 million euros. Now, Mario Ruiz de Velasco knows this. And this is why he can, and he is, suing her for 150 million euros. He knows what Lola is worth, and he wants it all. And on that worrying note, we come to the end of today's class. If you'd like to continue classes in advanced business English on a more formal basis, please join Marina and me for live and interactive sessions on our online platform. Just search Club Grattan and you will find us. And we hope that you will join us for the next episode. Until then, keep bringing English into your life and watch out for the snakes in the grass.